Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know, a show empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health and well-being. And this is what I like to call October Breast Health Awareness Month. That's what I'm calling it, Breast Health Awareness Month. So throughout this month, there are great interviews with experts who are sharing all facets of what are the best strategies and solutions and just knowledge and education we need to have during this month so we can support our health, and particularly in regards to breast health. And it's all about getting educated, as you know, because that's what this program is about, and it's empowering you with truthful information so you can make those really informed decisions. And it is especially relevant and important when it comes to the conversation about breast cancer. So we're going to be having a great conversation today. Before we get into it, I just want to remind everyone, especially for new listeners, if you haven't been to my website, please go up to whatwomenmustknow.com, opt in there, because you get these weekly podcasts sent to you directly to your inbox, and there's all sorts of other information that I send out to you. And also my Facebook page, which is What Women Must Know, is another place for great resources. I do post the podcast there, but a lot more gets posted on a daily basis. So keep getting yourself educated. Keep sourcing the best information possible on your journey to health and well-being. So today we are talking about how to be cancer-free, and we're going to be exploring a go-to guide for cancer testing, which is a really interesting topic because there is so much more we can do and have access to tests that can be preemptive. We can be predictive. We can tune into what's going on. So before I jump into that topic, I want to introduce you to my very special guest today. And her name is Jenny Herbacek. And she is the author of Cancer Free, Your Go-To Guide for Cancer Testing. A little bit about Jenny, who is a registered nurse. She was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2009 and has since set out on a life-changing journey to help people detect cancer early, effectively treat it if diagnosed, and avoid cancer recurrence. She is the founder of Cancer Free University, an online on-demand resource with over 70 world-class experts, scientists, physicians, and researchers. She also appears in Ty Bollinger's docuseries, The Truth About Cancer, A Global Quest, and the Cancer Answers Global Summit, and is featured on and a regular contributor to the Doug Kaufman's TV show, Know the Cause. Jenny is a member of the BeatCancer.org advisory board and a general advisory board member of the Best Answer for Cancer Foundation. So it's my great pleasure to welcome Jenny to the show today. Hello, Jenny, and welcome.
Thank you so much for that very kind introduction.
Well, you've been such a passionate advocate out of your personal journey with a diagnosis. So I'm just going to jump right in and ask you, Jenny, if you could share a little bit about what happened to you in regards to getting a diagnosis of breast cancer.
Right, right. Well, I got the diagnosis in 2009, and it was just at my normal yearly OBGYN checkup, and with the breast exam, my physician thought she felt something, you know, like it was really deep in my right breast, and she said, you know, well, let's look at this further. Anyway, I went every year to the doctor, and everything was always fine. So I was really surprised, and I expected it to be a cyst because all my labs were always absolutely normal. So when I got the diagnosis that it was breast cancer, and I did a biopsy, which was just a horrific experience, and I want to talk more about that later on some things that women can do to potentially avoid the stress of a biopsy that might not be needed. I went through that. My breast looked like an eggplant, and the fear just gripped me. It was absolutely terrible. I conjure up these pictures of my grandmother died of breast cancer, and I see people with these little terrible looking scarves on their head, and I thought, how can this be happening to me? I feel fine. You know, I go to jazzercise. How can I have cancer? But I immediately did what so many people do, and I reacted with fear, and I just wanted it out, really, by the first surgeon who would take it out.
What stage were you at?
It was stage one, because it was 1.9 centimeters. It was really deep on the side, and I really didn't even feel it until I thought, well, maybe there is something there. When they did find a 2.4 millimeter C, which is very tiny, in one of my lymph nodes, then that made it a stage 2A instead of a stage 1. So, but the interesting thing about it is my CBC was fine. My liver enzymes were fine. Everything was fine. You know, my blood sugar, my C-reactive protein, all these labs that your doctor checks every year were fine, but yet I needed chemotherapy and I needed surgery, potentially radiation. And I just thought, how can this be happening? It was a bit of a nightmare. And, you know, even though I had a husband and I had friends that were, you know, rallied around me, you're still by yourself. Cancer is a very personal thing. You know, I tell people, when you lay your head on the pillow at night, it's you. You know, it's your name on that chart. So I jumped right into allopathic because I did not know any better. I didn't know that I had probably caused or had a big part of getting breast cancer, because I do believe that cancer is what I call a PLDD, preventable lifestyle-driven disease. And I think that our society, we've just gone so awry from what our ancestors and from what our creator has for us, that we get inflamed. And we can talk more about that later, how so that happens. But anyway, I did 4 rounds of chemotherapy. I had 6 surgeries.
Wow.
And then it was not a good
6
time.
Surgeries, 4 rounds for just as early stage breast cancer.
Right, right. So the next thing was, when I finished all this, it took a year, my hair fell out, I had a plethora of different wigs to wear, and, you know, it was really interesting because I found that when I wore my little pink, you know, breast cancer cap, I could walk in the store and people would just bring me up to the front of the line, you know, if I needed something at Home Depot, and people were so good to me. But if I put on my wig, then I was waiting in the back of the line, and, you know, you just don't feel good. So I thought, why am I trying to hide this? Let's let people show their kindness and their love to me. So went through that for a year, and then I went to a breast cancer support group, because that's what you're supposed to do, right? You know, you go to the meeting. So at the meeting, there were about 50 ladies there, and it was at our Methodist hospital here, and I had actually was involved in getting the meeting started. It was our first inaugural meeting, and as each lady went around and introduced herself, my heart began to sink deeper and deeper and deeper, because they were explaining the exact same diagnosis I had within a millimeter or two of the size of the tumor. They went through the same therapies I did. They were all told they were cancer-free, and more than half of them were back in therapy because, you know, the cancer had come back. And that's what I just immediately pictured, a target, one of those big red and white targets, and I thought, man, do I have a target on my back or what? I just didn't feel like I was getting the whole story. So that's what caused me to go out and do all the research that I've done.
So we're going to talk about that research, but I'm just curious, Jenny, with hindsight, what do you think were some of the factors that predisposed you to getting breast cancer?
Right. This is what I think. You know, if you go back and you just look at the cell, right? The cell has a phospholipid membrane. Every cell has the mitochondria in it that are little engines that produce our ATP. And one thing we do know about cancer is that the Krebs cycle, which is in our little factory, the mitochondria, that it skips steps and it starts fermenting sugar, because I truly believe that cancer is a survival mechanism, because it's not something I caught. My cells turned cancerous, and they started fermenting sugar, because I believe that with all the sweet potato fries and the chips and salsa, that I ate that were fried in bad grease and the salad dressings with the vegetables, because that was back when we had this national craze for low fat and no fat. And if you got fat, it was canola oil, which is mostly genetically modified. It was a vegetable oil blend. And, you know, I was doing all that. And I loved those little mini candy bars. I won't say the brand because I don't want to say anything bad about the company. But, you know, I was eating a standard American diet. And I believe I choked down that membrane that if I had been eating a really good, clean diet, I don't think that would have happened. And that's how we see so many people heal from cancer. You know, there are testimonies everywhere. They go back and they just have to remove everything that caused it and support the body so that it can heal. So it's just, you know, the interesting thing was when I got the diagnosis, I said to my doctor, I said, well, how long have I had this? Because when he told me I had breast cancer and that it was in a duct and it had burst from the duct, and they were showing me these diagrams, and when I said, well, how long have I had this? I expected them to say maybe a year because I had been to the doctor a year before and I had blood work and everything was good. And when he said, well, you probably had this 7 to 10 years, my heart just probably skipped a beat. And I thought, 7 to 10 years? You mean I've wasted 7 to 10 years where I could have intervened with this? But this is how we find cancer in the United States. We wait for you to have a lump or bump, enough cancer that is all together in one area where it forms a tumor, and you can stick a needle in it, or it has to show up on a PET scan. And I thought, well, I just felt like I'm not a very smart person. Here I'm a registered nurse. I got my, you know, my checkup every year, and now this had happened. And I just thought, surely we can do better. You know, surely we can find this before it becomes so tragic and so scary.
Well, they do say that it takes up 7 to 9 years before that condition that we eventually cause breast cancer shows up in a mammogram. That's a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And I remember talking to a woman who had these regular mammograms, and her doctor said, you know, something doesn't look right, but we'll just wait and see, and we'll wait and see. And year after year and after year, he said, we'll just wait and see until 3-4 years down the track, and then she finally got diagnosed. And I went, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Can you imagine just waiting and seeing? Waiting and seeing is not the strategy to use if there was something suspicious.
No, it is not.
Like you said, if you had known, you could have cut it, you know, cut it off at the pass, right?
Yes, and I truly believe, and I know you agree with me that if we only know, and people say, Jenny, how do you have a test about cancer? Nobody wants a cancer test. And I always say, you know what? I promise you, every person who gets that diagnosis, if they could have gotten it a year sooner, 2 years sooner, 3 years sooner, 4 years sooner, or even had a heads up that they were going down that path, they would take that opportunity in a heartbeat. We don't do any of the tests that I have found that will find cancer years before the way I found it, where I wouldn't have even qualified for surgery. You know, and it breaks my heart because we have the tools. So I decided to tell everybody I know, don't wait. Don't do what I did, because it's not how we're supposed to live. I mean, it's like I've had this cancer thing, I've been following it around, and now I have this ministry and this, you know, people email me and call me and they listen to me speak, and I had no idea this would ever be anything I wanted to do with my life, but it's kind of like my fate kind of grabbed me, and I have such a passion for people and trying to move us into the next phase of medicine, and you know, it moves very slowly, and our society is a show-me society. You know, people want proof of this, proof of that. So I've got a bunch of little screening tests that you can find out that you can do, and you can go down to your local hospital and get a PET scan if you can even get the doctor to order it, and it will be negative. And you should say, thank you, Lord. It's negative. I still have time to intervene, because we know that any tumor about 1 to 2 millimeters already is shedding those cancer stem cells and DNA fragments into the bloodstream. But, you know, the big marketing machine of cancer has taught us differently, that you don't have cancer until you have a lump or bump, or you've lost a bunch of weight, and you're looking terrible, and your eyes are yellow, and all these things, and it's, you know, some sort of bloodborne cancer. We think that that's cancer. Cancer doesn't have to be scary. And that's my mission, is to take the fear out of the disease and change people's mentality on the way we think of the disease. Because I truly believe that we can stop it, we can reverse it, and the body is created to heal.
Okay, so let's go back to something you said earlier in the conversation, mm-hmm. and that was that you had a regular blood workup, you know, the normal mm-hmm. blood panel, but that has nothing to do with looking for and detecting in an early fashion cancer, right? That's
it
what
does
I hear
not.
You say. It's like it's a useless panel for that.
It's absolutely useless. And I will tell you this. When I got the diagnosis and I had that 1.9 centimeter tumor, the tumor markers that the oncologist typically draw for women with breast cancer is a CA15-3 and a CA27-29. Do you know those were normal as well?
Wow. So it was detected primarily first by doing a breast exam and finding
mm-hmm. right.
finding a lump. Which you right. had done, but couldn't detect.
Well, it was really deep. It was kind of on the side, and it was really deep. And I just
right.
didn't feel it, you know. And
right.
and to be honest, I was 47. I kind of thought, oh, my goodness, you know, I didn't really need to worry about that much. I was going to the doctor every year. But what I want to let people know is we need to be our own best advocate. And I was not my own best advocate. So my message is to empower women to be their own best advocate and to insist upon, you know, making the lifestyle changes now or getting some of these screening tests, which will be a motivator for you to go in and do some different things.
Now, I have one more question before we look at some of the tests. I'm just
okay.
curious, Jenny, with what is considered a early stage cancer. And I know people treat it aggressively with stage zero cancers.
Right.
Zero.
Right.
Aggressively.
Right.
Aggressively.
Right.
But I'm curious
right.
as to, which is I think is totally you know, medical negligence. But beside that, I'm just curious, why did you have, what, how many rounds of chemotherapy and how many surgeries did you say you had?
Okay, so I had Taxol and Cytoxan, kind of a cocktail of the two. And I had, oh, this is a funny story. So I had the first dose, and then I had 3 weeks later, and then my hair fell out exactly to, you know, on day 10, day 11, my hair fell out. And then I went back 3 weeks later and did the second dose. And after that, after I did the second dose, my white blood cell count got really high, and I had a little bit of a fever. So I called my doctor, and he said, oh, well, you know, the chemotherapy is knocking out your immune system, so we need to put you in the hospital. So they put me in the hospital. The first thing they did was they wouldn't let me have any living food. I could only have the burger with the bun and the meat and the French fries, no salad, no tomato, no nothing, because there might be bacteria on these foods. And I'm sitting in there thinking, this is a nightmare. I mean, this is terrible. I'm in reverse isolation. You know, and here, you know, a few weeks ago, I was at my jazzercise class, you know, and my life has just changed. So anyway, so I had, they had to postpone the second or third dose. Anyway, so then the next dose, I got a temperature again. My white blood cell count went up. Guess who I didn't call? I just stayed home and hydrated, and the fever went away. I just thought, I don't need to be back in there for 5 days in reverse isolation and having my friends sneak contraband healthy foods into me, you know, to eat because of these rules that they have. I mean, they would give me cupcakes and pie and anything that was dead. You know, it had to be dead food. It was just, it was terrible.
And,
that's all I can
and
say.
And I think that just brings up the point, which I know we're going to talk about, and what people need to be aware of is that if chemotherapy is the choice that people are making, to understand that this is a toxic soup, a toxic chemical soup that you're putting in your body, which you kind of, unless it's very targeted, unless you know the best chemotherapy agent to work with,
Greek
test, which you probably talk about the Greek test. We'll talk about that.
Yes, I'm going to be with them this weekend.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that, or maybe get what's called insulin potentiate therapy, which is a special therapy that uses very low but targeted chemotherapy. I mean, you are saturating every single cell with a poison.
Right, right. Hence, I had the, you know, my white blood cell count, you know, was just, you know, I was having an immune crisis, and they were afraid I was going to get an infection, and I thought, now I'm looking at potentially, you know, death here. They're saying that I can't be around anyone if I catch a virus or something, that could be the ends of me. And I'm thinking, I'm still in awe. How did this happen to me? And I'm still trying to figure it out. And so I did the double mastectomy with the reconstruction because they told me basically something that's not true. They told me that if I did that, I would never have to deal with breast cancer again. And it was so traumatic for me that I did never want to deal with breast cancer again. And they showed me pictures of all these reconstructed breasts. And I thought, wow, that doesn't look so bad. If I can get through this, never have to deal with breast cancer again, let's just do it. Well, what I told Ty Bollinger in the Global Quest for the Cure, I said, all I did was keep the cancer from coming back in the tissue that went in the trash can. And the reconstruction process was a bit horrific because my surgeon comes in the morning or the afternoon, I think it was the next day after my surgery, and he's got a team of people in the scrubs and the hats who've just come from the OR, and he's like, my dear, your whole chest is gray from your neck down below the breast. The skin is dying. We're going to have to do skin grafts on you. And I'm laying there with a morphine pump, and I've got Jackson Pratt. There are these tubes that they stitch on your side coming out, two on each side. And I couldn't even pray. All I could say was, Lord, help me. I was like, how did I get in this situation? You know, and so my friends rallied around, and they interceded for me for 3 days. And they were all around my bed praying for me. And on the third day, kind of like Jesus, the third day, my surgeon came back in because he was there two and three times a day checking on me because everyone was so upset that my skin was dying all over my chest. And I'm thinking, where are they going to get the skin from, my thighs or my back? Or now they're talking about potential infection. And anyway, he said, my dear, I don't know what you were doing, but those prayers are working. So I never had to have the skin graft, that my skin, and I do believe I received a miracle because it was my friends saw my chest and they just took so much tissue. They didn't leave much vascular area. And it was just horrible. So, you know, you get the expanders at the surgery, and then you have to put in a port because then they tell you you have to do chemotherapy, which we want all the ladies to know. There's a study that just came out a couple of months ago saying that if you do a hormone blocker with chemotherapy, there's no increased survival, no increased anything than if you just do the hormone blocker. So we are really coming to the point with breast cancer that chemotherapy is kind of being pushed aside, but yet I still get calls from people. They're doing the chemo. So it's just the medical model moves very slowly.
And that's why we need women like you to help guide us and give us other options and solutions. So can we do it? Can we do this conversation this way, Jenny? Can we say what's a myth and what's the truth?
Okay.
So give us a myth, and then give us a truth.
Okay, so a myth is that if you do a PET scan and it's clear, that you are cancer-free. That's a myth. The truth is that years before it would ever show up on a scan, you have little tiny micrometastases. And then the myth is that there's nothing you can do about those. You have to wait for them to grow into a clump together in a large bump so that you can do the allopathic model. The truth is, when it's that tiny where it doesn't even show up on a scan, so much easier for the immune system to be activated. and for you to change things in your lifestyle. Remember, I talked about the preventable lifestyle-driven disease, because I talk to people all the time that have a cancer diagnosis, or they're on the path to one. They change a lot of things, do a few therapies, and they convert their test back to negative. The body can heal. I do not believe we were put on this earth for an environment that would not sustain us. We just got off track. It's a myth that the standard American diet doesn't cause cancer. I would agree with that. You know, we're 37th in the world as far as healthcare systems. We're not even in the top 10, and we have a tremendous amount of people, you know, that are being affected by cancer. 1 in 2, you know, men. 1 in 2.5 women, and I actually believe it's higher than that, because, you know, there are people that have autopsies or they've died of another way and they find that they had cancer. They just didn't know it yet because they were in that 7 to 10 year window before we actually offer people help. And the help is a bit tragic. You know, it's very hard on the body. So another myth would be, people say sugar doesn't feed cancer. Well, it obviously does, because if you take a cancer cell, and I actually demonstrate this with the tennis ball. I have a tennis ball that has like 10 little colored pins in it, and that's a healthy cell. Those are the little insulin receptors that, you know, open the door and let the sugar in, because even broccoli, you know, breaks down to sugar. And a cancer cell has like 150 pins in it, many, many more times the insulin receptors, because the cells are alive and they're going to just grab any sugar that they can get to help fuel that mitochondria, that little engine that's broken. So that's another myth. Let me think. Just ask me another question.
I was just going to say, and this ties into what your work is about. A myth is that you can go do your chemo, do your radiation, do a mastectomy, and then you're clear of ever getting any form of cancer, breast cancer, or any other form ever again.
Right. And it's just not the case. And I see so many people, actually the title of my book is Cancer Free, Are You Sure? Because when I found out that all these people were having these recurrences, and I left Houston, I went to Dallas to an integrated clinic, and I walked in and I told the doctor there, I said, well, he said, why are you here? And I said, well, I want to build up my immune system. And he said, why? And I said, well, because I had cancer last year. And I think I was still sporting one of my cute little wigs. And he said, well, where are you now? I said, well, I'm cancer-free. And he said to me, are you sure? And I thought, well, this guy is crazy. He's asking me if I'm cancer-free. I have clean surgical margins. I have a clean PET scan. Of course I'm cancer-free. And he then began to teach me about the circulating stem cells that were stimulated by the chemotherapy, the circulating tumor cells, and that removing that tumor didn't make me cancer-free in any way, shape, or form, but there were things I could do to, you know, to keep myself from having a terrible recurrence and to really monitor myself. So, you know, and that actually ended up being Dr. Ray Hammond, he's the head of RGCC in the United States and Canada. And I had the honor of going to their lab last year in Greece, which was just phenomenal.
We'll talk about that in a second. So I just want to make that point, and then we'll go on, look at some of the best tests for prevention, tests to help with treatment if you are diagnosed. But here's the important point I think needs to be emphasized. The reason the conditions, the environment, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, that contributed to and basically caused this imbalance, this serious imbalance in the body called cancer, in this case we're talking about breast cancer, unless that is addressed, going through the immediate circumstances of removing the presence of this imbalance is not going to prevent you from having some further recurrence down the track. You must address the causes that brought this, but you're just cutting out a symptom. You're not addressing and resolving the cause. And that is what really upsets me, because when so many women go through what you went through, they are then patted on the back and say you're good to go and given no guidance, no education, no support, no truthful information or strategies to address and resolve the underlying causes that brought this into their life in the first place.
Sure. That, I mean, that is what happens because really our medical model, if you find it really early, there's nothing they can offer you. You know, we're more of a reactive system. So, you know, I would love to tell you all about, you know, my biopsy situation was just horrific. I literally looked like I had an eggplant for a breast. It was terrible. And, you know, even when you do a biopsy, I've had people get biopsies that come back negative. It's almost like sticking a needle in a piece of raisin bread and trying to pull out a raisin. I know many people that have had biopsies negative, but they still had, they had cancer, but they go out and they think, oh, I'm cancer free. So you always want to double check and make sure, you know, with your diagnosis, because this is your health and, you know, cancer can be life threatening. So with that said, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, let's, you know, there's lots more we can talk about, but I think it's more important to jump into the tests that you write about in your book, Cancer Free. So let's start with some of the tests that can be more predictive of, of a cancer in some stage that is occurring in your body or conditions that may lead to. Let's start there.
Right, to look at. Okay, and as before I do that, I want to tell you about the work of Dr. Tomasu Kobayashi in Japan. He 40 to 50 years ago, and we're talking decades, he developed a tumor or a cancer staging system, 1 through 5, like we have, stage 1, stage 2, stage 3, stage 4. But what happens is his when you get to stage 5 on his cancer testing that he does, his blood test, all of a sudden, that's when you appear at a stage 1 on the United States system, which is, so his people don't die. They don't have to have surgery. They don't have to have chemotherapy because he's been using some of the markers that I'm going to talk about for 40 to 50 years, which is incredible. So I'm just want to say we're going to have to reframe what we think. So,
So his stage 5 is our stage 1.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Wow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he's been doing this for 40 to 50 years. I had the pleasure of meeting him last year at the ACIM conference. Actually, Dr. Gary Gordon wrote in my foreword about him because his work is just phenomenal. But, you know, we have a whole different system here. We're still waiting for the lump or the bump. We're still waiting for the breast biopsy. We're still waiting for things to show up on mammograms. And we're still waiting for people, you know, pancreatic cancer, 80% of it's found in late stage. We're not screening people. Anyway, so let's talk about a general test that people can get. There's a new test called IVGene, and it's IVYGENE, labs.com. And this test is a simple blood test because, as we've been talking before, we know that the cancer or the whatever, the cells that are not healthy, they're shedding things into the bloodstream. So this is a simple blood test. And what the scientists have figured out is that all cancers have a methylation defect at this MYOG1 spot on the DNA. And so you can do a simple blood test. I think it's about $400 plus whatever your doctor charges for doing the test for you. And it will come back with an IVGene score. And you want that score to be, you know, I like it to be 14, 15 and below. Because what happens is I get the question all the time, but doesn't everyone have cancer, Jenny? And I say, well, yes, but the immune system will come through and sweep it out. We should not be growing tumors, you know, in a healthy person. So a healthy young adult will have an IVGene score of 7 or 8. But if you get a score of 20, you know you've got an issue. And you may very well have a negative PET scan. Everything else may look good. But you've got too many cells in your body that we know are identified as cancer cells going around. And so that right there is a great, just a marker that you can check. If you've had cancer, you want to make sure that number stays low. You see it rising, then you know, oh, my goodness, I need to really buckle down here and look at what I'm doing and get on some healing modalities. But that's called IVGene. And, you know, it will find cancer early. It will tell you if the therapies are working. It's just, it's a heads up is what it is. And it's a test. We as Americans like to have a test, right?
So a question about that. What do women do if their doctors never heard of it?
Okay, so this is what I tell them. Take them my book, show them the chapter, or take them to the website, because the science is so profound. I know the scientists there. These are the people who actually had the OncoBlot test. And this IVGene test, in the next few years, they are working to be able to identify the site of origin as well. They are incredible molecular biologists working on this. And I say, well, you know what? Then fire your doctor and call the company and find a doctor in the area that offers the test. Or go to your chiropractor or your naturopath and have them order you a test kit. You know, we want to just say, oh, well, my doctor won't do it, and we walk away.
Okay, part two of that question. So someone goes to their doctor. The doctor is willing to order the test. It shows that you are indicating, the test is indicating that you are at risk. What does someone do then, especially if they go to their
sure.
you know, primary doctor, their gynecologist, whatever.
Right.
Who offer no real good strategies for addressing the underlying issues.
No,
where
don't.
Do women go at that point? Or is it?
Right.
I mean, are we talking women? Or are we talking for anybody?
No, this is anybody. This is
anybody.
We can get a heads up for pancreatic cancer early. We can get a heads up for any type of cancer early. And so you're going to have to go on my website. I have four or five different search engines. Find a functional medicine doctor or an integrated medicine doctor, and these guys and gals are fabulous. They know that cancer doesn't just appear the day you get the lump or bump. When I lecture to doctors, I tell them, shame on you if you don't have a cancer prevention program in your office or a recurrence prevention program, because for years people go, you know, you go to the doctor, you fill out your health survey, and you put that you had colon cancer in whatever year, and they just go, oh, I see you had colon cancer. But no one ever does anything to help you prevent a recurrence. And we've got to change that. And if it means walking away from your standard doctor and moving over to one of these doctors that attends the functional medicine conferences and integrative cancer conferences, so that you may want to do an IV vitamin C, you know, once a month. You may want to absolutely get on some natural substances, like your liposomal curcumin. There are so many studies out there on how that is anti-cancer. There's so many things we could do that we're not doing. And it may require a little bit of work depending on where you live. I'm in Houston, which is a little difficult because we have these big cancer institutes here, and they just pretty much run the integrative doctors out of town.
Hmm.
So I go out of town for help. That's what I do.
But
what's the option? The option is just waiting for it to get worse and doing nothing.
Yeah.
You know, so
we've got the IV gene test.
Yeah,
it's IVYGENE, and it's IVGeneLabs.com.
Yes.
So that's one of the tests you were telling us about.
Sure. Right.
What else is a preventative or early warning test?
Right. The CA profile is another test. And that test actually uses a lot of the markers that Dr. Kobayashi uses, which is like your CEA, embryonic antigen, your PHI enzyme, which is a motility factor. It's actually seven different tests in one blood test. And if those things put together a certain profile, you've got a heads up. I promise people you want the heads up. You don't want to get the formal diagnosis. And I'm telling you how to find it early where you don't get that formal diagnosis. And it will require some personal reflection and some accountability on your part to make the changes, because your body is sending out signals that there's a problem brewing. You know, with 1 out of 2 men, 1 out of 2.5 women, a lot of people are having those signals, right?
So
let's find them early. I'd love to talk about, because, you know, your show is about women.
Wait. I just want to say that test, the cancer profile test, comes from the American Metabolic Labs. And how much does that lab test cost, and is it covered by insurance?
It's about $548, and it is an out-of-network usually covered. And a DO and an MD can order the test. So it's great, and I believe you can even call there and have a consult with them to get the test.
So, you know,
we're all watching our blood sugar. We're getting our, you know, we're checking our hemoglobin A1C, but we're not checking these other things.
All these indicators. So,
right.
I mean, that's why it's so important, because we need to have an early warning system.
We do, and because we know the body can heal. If we didn't know the body can heal, then maybe you don't want to wait till later. But I am so against that. I think it's the whole wait, watch, and wonder thing that we have going. People, they see something in the lung and they just want to watch it. Well, I've got a test that I talk about called the early CBT lung test that will, it's just a blood test again, and it will tell you if there are autoantibodies in the blood that are produced when lung cancer is there. And it can find that you have a lung cancer problem 4 years before you would find the tumor. This is huge.
Yeah,
it's just huge. I can't tell people, you don't want to be where I've been, I promise you. And 80% of lung cancer is found at late stage, and early detection triples the five-year survival rate. But they don't find lung cancer usually until it's, you know, it's pretty advanced. People just don't, you know, the symptoms come are slow coming up. I do want to talk about the Modesta breast test because we're talking about women's health.
Yes.
So let's say you go every year for your mammogram, which I'm not a fan of mammograms because it is a breast X-ray. But
yeah.
the women
and I want to say we've done a show with Dr. Hillary Smith for this month on thermography. She's a licensed clinical thermographer.
Sure.
So we talked
about
options.
Sure, and that's a terrific option. But women are bullied into getting their mammogram. They're bullied. And I always say, well, an ultrasound, a breast ultrasound would be better, but they won't give you the order for the ultrasound until after you do the mammogram and they find a problem. So I always tell people, if you're in that situation, schedule them both and go for the ultrasound and then don't show up for the mammogram because, you know, you're just radiating a problem. But so let's say you get at the phone call that your mammogram is questionable, and you go back and you do a diagnostic mammogram, and it's not looking well. So now they want to do a breast biopsy, and that's the call that women do not want to get. You know, it's scary. So I have a test that I want to tell you about. It's called the Modesta breast test. It's a VIDESSA, and it is an alternative approach, and it's complementary to breast imaging. And I think I would tell doctors just order this in lieu of the mammogram, because even if you have to pay for it, you pay for it because this is your health. But what it does is it's a blood test again, because as we know, 1 to 2 millimeters, we've got things in the blood that are going to show cancer. But it's a blood test for 11 different tumor-associated autoantibodies that are produced when there's cancer, and 13 different biomarkers. So, you know, what 70%+ of breast biopsies are negative, which I always tell women, you know, if you're biopsying, you have some unhealthy breast tissue. Don't just celebrate and go back to your life. You know, you need to clean things up. But instead of doing the breast biopsy, I would say, can we just take a little pause here and order this Modesta breast test and see if I have any of these protein signatures in my blood that are present when breast cancer is present? And that's the Modesta breast test. And it's just huge to me.
Tell us, can you spell it again?
Sure. It's V as in victory, I, D as in dog, ESSA.
Okay. I see it here in your book, and it's, I guess if they go to your website, they can find it, right?
Yeah.
ProVistaDiagnostics.com,
right? Right. And you know what, this is so new that a lot of doctors don't even know about it. But especially if you have a female OBGYN and you take this to them, doctors really do want to help you. You know, I find, you know, there are some that are just hard and they just say, well, I don't order that test, sorry. then that's when I say you get your little bag and you leave and you get a new doctor. Because this is huge. This is new science. You know, we used to think, you know, the world was flat. Before we, in the early 70s, before we did the first knee total knee replacement, we thought you were just going to be in a wheelchair if your knees gave out. But, you know, we're constantly making new medical breakthroughs. And this is big, and these doctors need to get with the program and understand that there are signatures in the blood. Just like, you know, now we can do knees. Now we can actually regenerate the knees with stem cell therapy. There are just constantly new things happening in the medical field. And we have to be our own best advocate. So, Jenny,
can I just read? This is such great information. So it's called the Videssa Breast Test. I'm going to just read the benefits from your book.
Okay.
So it's processed with a small blood sample. It's non-invasive. Mm-hmm. Reduces the need for biopsies and the rate of false positives, improves cancer detection when combined with imaging, which would be ultrasound, which is what you want, accurately detects breast cancer irrespective of breast density, which we know is a big problem, accurately detects invasive breast cancer and ductal carcinoma in situ, which is the very, very early stages of breast cancer. Some debate if it even is a real breast cancer, but it's very early stage of something happening.
Right.
Usually eligible for insurance and Medicare coverage. Good news on that front. And can be ordered independently. However, reported accuracy results are based on the patient having an unclear mammogram report.
Right, because they always want
to
pull that. Well, they want to sell you the mammogram. You know, they just want to sell you the mammogram. But I think the mammogram should go by the wayside and we should replace it with this test and then just do a breast ultrasound or thermography. We are moving forward at, like, turtle speed. It's terrible.
That's why we need you, because you're moving us along at the speed of light.
Right, right. You know what I do want to share? I talked to this gentleman this morning, and if you're out there and you're listening and you have a stage 4 cancer, you're devastated. Your doctor's telling you there's not really anything they can do. You've done chemotherapy, you've done surgery, you've done radiation, you've done everything they ask. I want to share with you the story about this gentleman named Brian. I was actually speaking out at a conference in Florida a few months ago, and he heard me talk. And we were doing small round table sessions, and he was sitting there with me, and I never know who has cancer and who doesn't, but I mentioned these new genomic tests, and I told everyone at the table, I said, look, if you are far along in this process, and not everyone has the courage to walk away from the allopathic model, and that alone would be cause them stress, you know? So we want to make sure that you get the very best care possible. So I mentioned some of the genomic tests and some of the tests that are chemosensitivity, and I talked about Foundation Medicine and the Weisenthal, and I mentioned a blood test called Guardant 360. This gentleman had lung cancer, colon cancer. It was like metastasized all in his liver. They said his liver was just eaten up with it, and he was basically told that he needed to get his affairs in order so that he might not make it out of the hospital. Well, he got in his doctor's face, and he said, I want this Guardant 360 test. Because what one of these tests can do is it may identify a genetic target that can be life-saving. So he actually got really ugly with his doctors, and he said, look, if you don't get me this test and I die, I guarantee you're going to be dealing with my wife. So the doctor ordered him the Guardant 360. It came back, and it found a genetic marker, the RET marker, and this is a marker that has to do with cellular replication of cancer. And there is a clinical trial going on for this BLU-667. It's a drug. It's a targeted therapy that goes after that RET marker that turned up on his test. He immediately flew to Miami. It's a phase 1B. And I'm not really big on these clinical trials, but I'm telling you, this gentleman, I spoke to him again this morning. His weight's up 35 pounds. He's having normal stools. He is on the road to recovery. His liver's looking healthy. The tumors are shrinking because he insisted upon getting one of these tests that was not even being offered to him. So we really do. It's so important that we're educated. and that we know what to ask for. Because this test literally, you know, and I feel like the Lord put him in my path.
Okay, so tell me the name. Let's spell that test out.
Okay, it's G-U-A-R-D-A-N-T.
G-U-A-R-D-A-N-T
360.
Okay. Okay.
And that is a, yeah, and it is a simple genomic test that can identify one of these targeted markers, because we are kind of taking the next leap in medicine. And these immunotherapies, you know, I have another friend with metastatic breast cancer, and she literally was given a day or a day and a half to live. I'll even tell you her name. It's Shirley Mitchell Williams. She was given a day and a half to live about a year ago. They were pulling liters of fluid off of her lung and off of her peritoneal cavity. She had to lean forward to breathe. They put her on the Verzenio, which is a targeted therapy with a hormone blocker. And I will see her tomorrow in Dallas. She is completely restored. So, you know, I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, because I love integrative care and, you know, we need to take care of ourselves. But there are times when we need to, you know, look at everything that's
and we
available.
Can know what all the options are. So, and we just have about, you know, 5 minutes left to go. So, Jenny, did you have something, a test for women who've had breast cancer and want to keep tabs on if there's something going on that could lead to a recurrence?
Okay, so I love the Research Genetic Cancer Center test. And they're out of Greece. Dr. Yannis Papacenturio, since 2004, he's been able to isolate cancer stem cells out of the blood. And when I say cancer stem cells, you have to understand those cells are about 2%, 2 to 3% of the total amount of cancer cells. And those are the ones that we believe, and science has pretty much documented, that cause the recurrence, because they're left behind. They don't show up on a scan. They don't show up on a mammogram. He's been able to pull these cells out of the blood, and it's a simple blood test. So when you're done with your therapy or whatever you've done, or you just want to make sure you're cancer-free from any kind of cancer, you can run just an OncoCount test. And there's a phone number in the RGCC chapter. The office is in Raleigh, and they can tell you a doctor near you. This is so advanced that the doctors here don't even want to use, some of them don't even want to use it because it's so advanced. But yet they know their patients are getting recurrences. They know their people are getting cancer, and they know that they've had it for many years. But we don't seem to want to look for the signs. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. But I love that. But there is a test. RGCC has many, many tests they offer. There's one specific called an OncoTrail Breast, and it will give you the markers for breast cancer if the metastasis marker is on, and just different markers that your doctor can check. And you want to, I unfortunately, most people after therapy still have a positive circulating tumor stem cell count. You know, but you want to keep it one or two, and you want to check it and make sure it's not popping up, because then you could have something occurring. You know, because we all have an enemy, and we don't live in a perfect world. We're not in the Garden of Eden any longer. So we need to be diligent and take care of ourselves. And if something comes up, we need to address it. And I love the OncoTrail Breast for breast cancer. You can go on their website, and they have a plethora. They're even doing some dendritic cell vaccines, which are kind of ramping up your immune system to go after and target those cancer cells that are blocked. That's another test, the Nagalase test, which is just tells us about how much our immune system is blocked. It's simple blood draw. About $110 on the Nagalase level. There's just that's why the book is like 400 pages, I think. Because,
so I just want to say something, Jen. I know you have so much to say, and we've come to the end of the show. But I want to just that the lab you're talking about is called Research Genetic Cancer Center Lab Test. It actually is the samples are sent to Greece, right? And that's where the main lab is. But but the thing about this lab and some of the tests, because I also known as the Greek test, that's so unique, is because it will personalize treatment for your unique expression of cancer.
Sure.
It tailors
right.
it to you. And that
right.
means it tailors not just the type of chemotherapy that's most effective if you choose to go that way, but also
right.
more natural approaches that have
sure.
been tested on your blood sample and your, you know, cancer
mm-hmm.
samples
right.
that
they
shows are, most effectiveness.
Right. They give you the genomic profile, plus they take your cells and put it with each of those natural substances and the different drugs. So it's almost like a double whammy. This test gives you the genomic and the chemosensitivity for natural substances and drug substances. And it gives you a percentage. So like for me, because I still have some cancer cells in my blood that I monitor very closely, and I have like a 60% efficacy with intravenous vitamin C. So I do those regularly just to keep that population low. If my number was 10%, I wouldn't spend money on that.
Well,
you know,
so
it kind of helps with the budget.
So, I mean, we could go on and on, Jenny, but we've come to the end. So I just
yeah.
want to let people know, pick up Jenny's book, Cancer Free, Are You Sure? Go to her website to learn more, called cancerfreeexpert.com. And, you know, it is all about empowering yourself with knowledge, with information, and the wisdom, and then working with the strategies that are out of the box. You're not going to find them offered to you in most cases by your traditional medical doctor, but you can ask for them or find someone who is willing to do it, because there are amazing things out there that can help us negotiate preventatively and also in the realm of recurrence to make sure we do not have to go through that trauma and drama again. So,
yeah.
Jenny, I just want to thank you so much. Jenny Hrbacek, that's Jenny Hrbacek, her last name.
Yeah. Yes.
And, I so appreciate the passion and the work you're doing and all the effort to gather all this information in your book. It's fantastic. And, I trust people really will take advantage of all the hard work you've done. And you are saving lives. So thank you so much for the great work you're doing.
Thank you. And I just want to add that if you go to order the book, the new one is out by Charisma Media, their Shalom Group, and it's only $19.95, and it's the one that has me on it in the red scrub. So make sure you get the latest edition, because that one has all the great new current research that has come out. So look for me in the red scrubs and the blue band on the cover. And make sure you get you want the latest one, because they're book resellers and they're selling my old version, which you want the latest stuff.
Okay. That's the one I've got with your little beautiful red scrubs on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah. If you go on Amazon, they're still selling the old one. It's crazy.
Okay. We want the new,
latest
version.
Yes. I want everyone to get the best, latest information.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you, Jenny. And pick up Cancer Free, Are You Sure? This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You've been listening to What Women Must Know. And as always, I like to tell you and remind you, honor the wisdom of your feminine self. And bye for now.